Hello, and welcome back to Matt's Trucking Great Podcast. Matt Ireland once again hosting, and I'm today joined once again by my good friend Luke Power Hipsley. How are you, Luke? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good, Matt. Not a bad job on pronouncing the second name as well. You almost got it.
Nearly, yeah. I'll get there eventually. I am terrible
stuff
like that.
One.
No, it's not. No, we're not far off. We'll have to get the editor to change that.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, you can put it out to spell it phonetically or something like that.
Yeah, was it? Time. Is it Hippersley then?
Hippersley. So someone used to say to me, it's one hip, one piss, and a Lee.
Fair enough. I'll try to remember.
That's one way of remembering it.
I'll try to remember that for next time we record then.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, so for any new listeners who didn't listen to us chat over a year ago, we're just going to sort of cover your background a bit and just get them up to speed as such as to where we are today. So how did you get into truck driving then, Luke?
Like quite a lot of people, well, back in our generation, is your family, basically. So my family's always been in transport. It was a removals company, theatre transport, exhibition transport, sort of event type things.
Yeah.
And yeah, my dad eventually set up his own company, which would have been, I remember more of those years than any. Because I was sort of coming to that age then when you start to remember more of your childhood around that time, and that was 1994. And then, as soon as I was old enough, the moment I could get that Class 1 licence, I got it.
Yeah. So was he doing removals as well, like in the 90s? Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, because you were talking about it on the last podcast I listened to, and you said it is hard work, and it is. You're not lying.
Yeah.
I've got a removals client now, and I just do the international movements for them.
Right.
Which is obviously a lot easier, but I take it you did domestic door-to-door.
Where you're
trying to like load and unload an 18-tonner in a day, and you sometimes get delays with keys, the access isn't good enough, the weather's not on your side, and the days just, they really can, some days really get to you.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, it is really hard work, so... Yeah, I'm glad I don't do it anymore. I'll put it like that. And again, hats off to anybody who does, really. So, fair play to them, because it's not like doing containers, that's for certain.
No. And I think a lot of the removal companies, they really struggle with driver recruitment, because it's hard enough anyway recruiting drivers as it is. You've got to have someone that's physically able and willing to do the grabs.
Yes.
And most just look and think, well, why would I be doing that? I could be working for Tesco's or containers. And all I've got to do is swing a door open and close.
That's it. Yeah, if that sometimes, you know. So, yeah, it is quite a niche sort of pool of drivers that are going to be prepared to do that sort of hard graft. And the thing is as well, because it's not like it pays double any other driving job. It's the same sort of rates of pay. So you're asking someone to do a lot for the same amount of money, aren't you, essentially?
Yeah, like any transport business, the rates aren't really reflected as to the sort of work you've got to put into it. So I can remember, I think the drivers weren't really on a lot more than what would be classed as the porters, because sometimes the fact they had the Class 1 wasn't their sort of point of seniority. That was just what they brought to the table. Possibly the person that didn't have the license was actually a better removal man than them and could pack the trucks better and all of that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah.
You didn't necessarily get paid more money just because you had the license, because you were essentially, you could just be the dog's body, but you've just got the ability to drive the truck a few miles to the first house, around the corner to their new house and back to the yard. You didn't really have to bring much to the table in terms of the actual driving aspect of it.
Yeah, very true. And you're doing that whilst the other guy's getting a bit of a break from all the lifting and shuffling stuff about.
Yeah. Well, like I said, when you're doing the domestic stuff, the driving side of it isn't as it's not as big a part of it. It's just like a byproduct of getting it there. So at least it's not like you think, well, I've just driven 4 hours up the road and now I've got to unload it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do obviously get companies that do long distance moves like that, don't you? But that's not something you're doing day in, day out, and you think, well, I've just been driving for 4 hours, now I've got to start unloading whilst he's been sat there sleeping.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's a challenging old job, isn't it? So, how did you get started yourself then? Obviously, like say, you as soon as you were 17, you passed your car test, I presume.
Yeah. So straight through, I think about I'm pretty sure it's something like 6 or 7 days after my birthday, managed to get myself through my test. So straight away, and that was when I was doing removals full time. So I got a transit van, eventually got a Luton van, and I just done that until I was 21, because there wasn't really anything else I could do or wanted to do. I just thought that I'm being held back until 2009, until I could do my class one. Then I could really think about getting stuck into what I want to do and where I want to go in terms of the job and business and things like that. So yeah, just had to mess about doing that for a few years.
Biding your time.
And just my luck is when it's finally time for me to get my hands on my class one, two things happened. One was a credit crunch, so the work was a lot more competitive trying to find a job, especially at 21. So, and then what they also done is that was when they lowered the age limit, I think. Not long after that, I passed my test to 18, and I thought, superb. I could have been driving trucks 3 years ago, and it's just my luck. Is yeah, I passed, and they go, yeah, actually, we're going to let 18-year-olds drive them now. So,
Yeah, you get a
yeah, I was a little
three
bit.
years experience in a full-time job, but now, oh, thanks.
Or 3 years of being told that I've not got enough experience and we can't give you a job, more likely. But because I'd had family in the industry with their own businesses, I'd built up good relationships with some other transport companies doing work for them with my vans. They took a punt and lowered their, like, well, paid the extra insurance to get me on, which got me off and running. So, but like with most jobs, I had to start doing work I didn't particularly want to do, but I needed to get the experience for one and just get myself out on the road and yeah, just start cutting a path.
I said, yeah,
So
needs must, you can't start at the top, can you?
no. Well, funnily enough, I think I almost accelerated straight to the top with the first class one job that I'd done. I'd been doing a bit of general haulage, so I was self-employed anyway, so I was just a bit of gun for hire still. So I was still doing removals with my dad. I was working for a local company called IC Express, who I done loads of work for Ian over the years. So I was doing general haulage for them, mainly doing stuff for Kalina out of Avonmouth, which would be a horrible, having to get up and leave your house at 2 o'clock in the morning, get down there and load, do a multi-drop round Reading, fully freighted, and yeah, get back and repeat it all the next day. And I wanted to do tramping or something like that, but it wasn't what he done. And then my uncle asked, was there any chance I could do it? Well, would I be confident about driving over the water? And I was keen as mustard. I was like, yeah, of course, yeah, no sweat. He said, right, well, yeah, if you can fly down to Mallorca, I need you to meet me there, pick up the truck. And we had a trailer we called Stumpy, a little 26-foot step frame trailer. I picked that up, loaded with garden furniture from a photo shoot to come back to the UK. So obviously you can imagine. I thought one of these, I thought, I don't worry about paying me. I'll be on the next flight out of there. So yeah, got down there and done that. And I think that was possibly, I think I got to witness probably the good days of the European job about to go on, like, well, really start to decline, because I shipped back into Barcelona, went up to, I got up as far as Jonquera, and that was on a Saturday night. So told, like, driving ban obviously in France on the Sunday, isn't there? So I was told just park up somewhere in Jonquera, which I did. And funnily enough, we've just been there this week, and you don't park anywhere that ain't the secure parking, I think. I know it's been pretty bad for crime over the years, but that weekend I was there, I ended up parked on a roadside. There's a load of Dutch trucks there, sort of took me under their wing for the weekend. And I that was when I just thought, this is the job for me. This is it. You've got to find a way to make this a permanent thing that you're doing. So yeah, that was it. That was my first taste of it. So like I said, yeah, that must have been about, I think it must have been about 2 or 3 months I'd had my license and I flew out and done that. So I thought,
Flipping
yeah,
out.
so it did almost felt like, yeah, you got fast track to the top. Because in the meantime, all I was doing was driving a class two for IC Express, and my dad's truck was class two because it was a removals lorry. So I hadn't even been out and driven an Artic, which
What kind of Arctic was it then on this inaugural trip?
it was a Man F2000, an ex-Stobart, so it had the flat top. It did have cruise control, no fridge, of course, no air con, paper taco, and I loved it. It was mint. I just thought, you are the dogs, you are now. And
So essentially
Yeah.
a fleet motor, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. But we
Yeah.
were chatting, weren't we, the other night about trucks. Back in the day, they pretty much were all fleet motors. Like
Yeah,
what
yeah.
people expect of a lorry these days. And you, I think, well, when I started driving, like I said, I
Yeah.
was just happy to have a truck. I would have driven anything.
Yes.
So I wouldn't start going, oh, well, I'm not going to go and work for so and so because their trucks don't have microwaves and things like that. It was
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
yeah, just get into whatever I could get my hands on, really.
No, definitely. I mean, the attitudes have changed so much. I mean, I know a friend of mine who's a haulier, he had a guy, he had a, I think it was a demo MAN. It wasn't, and this was cool, this is good. Well, blimey, probably 15 years ago now, I suppose. He had the TGA, like the double XL. He had that big cab. Then there was like one lower down, like a small, slightly
Yeah,
small.
the XLX, he called it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, which you could stand up in and
Yeah.
whatnot. And yeah, anyway, this guy took it out. I think it might have only been for the day. And he got back and went, yeah, it's a nice truck, but that's not one for nights out. And my mate's like, what?
It's mad, isn't it?
He said that's not. He said it's not got a fridge. It's no good for a night out. It's just like people used to drive to the Middle East in
Yeah.
well, like a van, you know, and didn't
Oh,
complain.
I know.
And I
Well,
mean,
I had one of these XLX. I had one of the first when the TGX shape came out, and that didn't
yeah.
have a fridge or anything. It had a horrible manual gearbox, and that it was really, really stiff and hard to use. But it was
Yeah.
almost brand new. So, just when he said, "Oh, you're having that lorry," I was like, "Enjoy it, Flo." I was like, "What that?" And because he had like a 4-year-old version 2 FH at the time, I
Yeah.
thought, "Is he giving me the new motor for?" But I mean, when I drove it, I thought it was a little bit of a pig to drive. So I thought that's why he's decided not to have it himself, the boss. But
Probably, yeah. But I'm just trying to think now, sort of just going off on a slight tangent, when like my first fridge was. I mean, I used to have like one of them plug-in ginormous things on the passenger
yeah,
seat for
same,
yeah, several. I don't think my first ever Arctic was a 4 Series Scania, and I don't think that how I think I was still on my plug-in fridge at the time. I can't remember. So yeah,
Right.
I don't think I got one until I actually started at Trans Am. I don't tell a lie,
Right.
but when I was at Tannatons, my daff had one in 2003.
Right. Well, my first truck with a fridge was 2013, which was an Actros MP4, which I'd spec'd new.
Yes.
So up until that, it was the same for me, just plugging in a fridge. That anxiety is the truck going to start in the next morning because that
Yes.
thing's just been running all night and
That's
draining the
it,
batteries. And so I'm worried, like thinking, oh, I've got to try and charge your phone as well, make sure that your alarm's going to go off in the morning.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you'll probably know better than me, but are they kind of standard fitment now? Generally speaking,
I
or
think, yeah, I say if you're ordering like an app, I think the salesman would pretty much, like, I'm guessing they ask you what type of work it is you do, and you say the drivers are out tramping. They are just put a fridge in there anyway. And what they actually cost on the spec, I know, like if you want a retrofit one, it can be like 500-600 pounds, but it's about 50 quid extra when you're doing it from a build from new. And I know you've got some big fleets that might only do day work and stuff like that, and they think, well, we're never going to need it. But a part of you does think, well, but it will help for the resale value, I suppose, in time. But I suppose a big an Asda or someone like that, they don't care. They just it's pretty much getting made into washing machines and bean cans when they're done with it anyway.
Well,
So
that's it. Yeah, exactly. You know,
they're.
companies like that, they're not buying a truck thinking of resale. They're just buying a small cheap motor just to send up the road
Yeah.
for 8 hours a day, sort of thing. So,
Well, yeah. Or like if it's a supermarket one, it's pretty much never gets time for the oil to get cool, does it? So
yeah,
they're not
exactly.
they'll get everything they need out of that truck. They don't need to worry about the resale value. That's just it.
That's it.
If they only get £1,000 at the end of its life, it's probably earned, it's paid for itself 10 times over anyway.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we've obviously gone off quite a tangent here. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So you did your trip from Mallorca, obviously on your own, back to the
Yeah.
UK. How did it go from
Yeah.
there then?
So from there, because like I said, it was the credit crunch. All of Mark's like big conference work and things that he usually done, he used to do a lot for Motorola, which was they'd sort of throw a bit of a jolly really for all the execs from around the world and stuff. They'd hire a cruise ship and Mark would follow it around the Mediterranean with a red carpet in the trailer and stuff to roll out. And they've had people like Diana Ross and Lionel Richie performing and Tom Jones and all that, just like at the evening dinners that they're putting on. So just my luck, that work all got cancelled because they couldn't be seen to be splashing all that money out after they just made 1,500 people redundant in the UK. So it was a bit dry, really, with getting back, like really getting off the ground with the international work. So I then ended up working for a company called SAS Logistics, who were based in Bristol near me, which I was tramping for them for, it used to be Tay Group, and it was just as Tay Group got bought out by Bibby Distribution. So I'd done that for them for, I reckon I'd done that for about a year. But because I was still a gun for hire, and sometimes I'd be doing bits elsewhere, I'd do the odd job for Mark. I basically over the years racked up a load of debt as well. It being, like I said, I keep bringing it back to the credit crunch, but it was being doing remo in the removals industry at that time. I was lucky to work 2 days a week, so I had a lot of credit card debt and things I had to pay back. So I wanted a steady full-time number, which IC Express then said, well, they'll give me a full-time role and they'll look for tramping work. So I was pretty much about to sign up with them, and then Mark asked if I could do a job, and I said I can't those dates because I'm going full time with Ice Express. And she said, well, what's that doing? Told him it'd be haulage and what he's doing. So, well, why not rate one of my trucks then, because his were only at 28 ton for doing event work. So what if we just uprate one of mine and give it a go in that? And I said yeah, because at the end of the day I'd have a bit more autonomy, and it there's more chance of me progressing properly up through the company as opposed to just working for IC Express. I would have probably only ever made it as far as being maybe their longest serving top driver, but wouldn't necessarily mean that I was carrying any sort of authority. I don't know what you'd call it, but yeah.
It's not the
So
work you want to do either, is it?
no, and I think obviously with going with Mark and on at Tudor meant I could go out and start seeking work that would suit me, but just basically seeing what's out there, whereas I'd have just been doing whatever the office told me at IC. So yeah, that was where I went on with Tudor, and well, as you know, I ended up I'd done 13 years, was a director of the company up until last April, was it? No, April before.
April before,
Yeah.
when you struck out on your own.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it was shit or get off the pot time, I think. I just thought I needed, because Mark was getting to the age, he's getting towards like his retirement age, but there was no real clear when he was going to retire. And I think I can understand him not wanting to go out and get financed on this, start moving yards and all the rest of it, because he's looking at like knocking it on the head. But the thing is, in this job, you've got to keep, it is like you've got to keep spending and putting in to get anywhere with transport, it feels. So me waiting 2, maybe 3, 4 years, who knows? I thought, well, I'm not really going to feel like I'm progressing in the direction I need to. So that was why I spoke to Mark and said, I'm going to be, I didn't just say I'm off. I said, look, I'm going to be leaving in a year, which gave me time to do my CPC, find the truck, just get everything in place. So it wasn't like a mad panic, and I could make sure I had everything set up right, ready for when I started, as opposed to having to go, oh shit, got to quickly go and find a lorry, and you end up buying the wrong truck, struggle with a yard, whatever. So yeah,
The truck you bought to start with was quite I think unique is a good way of putting it, isn't
yeah. So I
it?
bought it from Anthony Binns, and it's quite standout, as you know, because you've obviously seen the pictures. It's the Mercedes Hellgreen Magno color, which the original owner apparently buys a truck and a trailer every year to take his car to car meets. He bought this one to match his supercar. One had it painted to match his supercar, and then he took delivery of it in March 2020, just in time for the pandemic to cancel all of the events. So the truck just got parked up for 2 years, and that was when Binsley wanted to buy the trailer, and he said that he mentioned the truck to me, and I said I can't do anything for about a year, and he said, well, I'll run it for now and give you first refusal, and true to his word, he'd done that. So
Oh, good
yeah,
on
as soon as I was ready, yeah, the deal was done. So yeah, it was nice to know that. And the mileage, obviously, it spent 2 years doing nothing. It had extended warranty, which they'd basically, because it hadn't done anything, they what would you say? They prolonged it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
extended it as such, or
So I think the warranty might have only just ran out on it, and it's 6 years old now.
flipping out, that's
But
good.
I've only done 270,000 Ks in it, and it only had 80,000 when I got it off of Ant. So
Wow.
a 6-year-old lorry that's only done that, yeah, is I've got years worth of work left out of that truck. So
Yeah,
I said
definitely.
it was perfect. It was exactly the truck I needed. And I think for a lot of people starting out, they would look at the price tag and go, no chance. But like I said, because I've been doing it long enough, I know how everything works, how to cost things and stuff like that. So I had the confidence to go out and buy a truck that's costing me like £90,000 for a first truck. Is I know a lot of people, and I understand why you would think, well, I don't want to get too carried away. I'll start with one for about 10, 15,000, and you can do that's not impossible to do it, but you also could be buying
Someone else's problems.
and yeah, that cheap lorry starts becoming quite the opposite. And it's not just the money you've got to spend on them to get them repaired, which is obviously always, it's always four figures. I don't ever get a bill which is less than four figures, it feels like. But it's the time as well. So you think, yeah, it wasn't just, oh, I spent £1,200 on that. I also didn't have the truck for a day or two, maybe. So actually lost revenue as well. So yeah, it's
Absolutely.
some, yeah, sometimes it, in some cases, it does just pay to just have something newer, pay the finance bill, and but have the peace of mind that that truck's going to be out working 48 weeks a year pretty much without fail.
That's it, especially if it's got this warranty to back it up as well. That's a lot of peace of mind, isn't
Yeah, well, I've run Mercs now for 10 years, so I've spec'd two brand new ones at Tudor, and I managed to get us a few second-hand ones. We had an ex-Stobart one that came from a flower company, another ex-Stobart one that came from our mutual friend in Essex, and I have 10 years of good running out of those, and well, they all made it to 1 million Ks, and I've got a Volvo now as well, obviously, and I've had a lot of grief with that. And a couple of weeks back, my driver reported an issue with oil leaking out from around the prop shaft area. So I thought, well, you're passing through Bristol, come back to the yard, jump in my Merc, take that out, and I'll try and get yours sorted. And he just finished the rest of the week off in mine. And I must admit, I went home and I slept like a baby, knowing he was out in the Merc. Whereas my Volvo, I don't like that truck being out working when I'm not working, because I want to be available and on call. So if he's doing nights and I'm doing days, I'm thinking, when I'm trying to get my rest, at any point that phone could go off. Whereas I just don't get that worry with a Merc. They've just been so reliable for me that it's nice I've got warranty on the one I've got, but I feel like I don't need it, because I just the truck's just so reliable.
It does seem a little bit unusual for a Volvo to be to given that sort of frame of mind from various operators and drivers that I know who run them. Maybe it's just a Friday afternoon job, perhaps, but
Well,
you've just
yeah,
been unfortunate, and you're the one that's now running it, sort of thing.
I know. Yeah, well, sometimes if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. So yeah, it was and a few things, like, as unlucky as I've been with that Volvo, it's I've been fortunate with the problems I had. So I was coming down, I was literally, well, pretty much a year, so like the 1 year anniversary of the incident, is I was on the way down to Barcelona on the job that I'm doing at the moment. And I was just coming through the Saint-Omer Péage, and I heard like a horrible crunching and grinding noise. And I thought, what was that? Looking around, can't see anything. I pulled over, can't see anything on the floor. Everything looks okay with the truck. So I set off on my way. And then it was after a while, I sort of thought, what's that noise? It sounded like there was a helicopter or something overhead, or something following me. And then I thought, is there a flat spotted tire or something like that? Got out and checked again, can't find anything. Anyway, I've made it to Girona. So I spoke to, I'm not sure if you know OB Trucks, who do like a lot of recovery work all around Europe.
No.
Sean, the owner, he's from Manchester, and but he's based in Girona. So sort of workshopping with him about, and he's done a few jobs for me over in the past when we've had breakdowns over the water. So he said, well, if you can get it into my place, I'll get my mechanic to take a look at it when you get here. So got it down there, took the mechanic out for a test drive. He looks at me, he said, that's the diff. So you sure? He's like, yeah, that's the diff. So he's cracked the bung open, and it looked like a glitter ball had been smashed up in the diff casing. So
No.
Yeah, so he said, right, I'll price up the diff for you. He spoke to Volvo. They said, yeah, we can get you a diff for 9,000 euros and it'll be with you in 6 days. So my heart sank, and that was my third week of driving that truck.
Oh, God.
So anyway, Sean said, oh, there's a guy in Stafford who breaks Volvos and Renaults.
Yeah.
He will probably have one. And we were searching for the diffs anyway. And because it's a low ride truck, the ratio is obviously different to your standard Volvos. So I had to find one with a 2.5 ratio as well.
Right.
So looked online, I could find one in Estonia and one in Poland. Spoke to the guy in Stafford, and he said, you're in luck. There's one here. And I thought what he was doing then was just probably pre-warning me to say, right, I'm just lowering your balls into the vise to find out how I'm going to tighten it up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said £1,000. I said, send the invoice now.
Yeah.
And so then my mate John, he's got his own truck, he's an owner driver as well. But his truck was off the road for MOT, so he was just farting about at home. He said, oh, well, I'll bring it down for you if you want.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, he said, I fancy a jolly. I thought, can I a jolly to me? And he's a bit of a character, John. He was in a Vauxhall Insignia he just bought off of our mate for £600 about a week earlier. Doesn't really know much about this car. Him and his mate Matt have jumped in the car, gone up to Stafford, picked the diff up, and when the forklift's lowering the diff in, he said the suspension just wouldn't stop going down. It was just going down and down and down. But him and Matt are a pair of big lads, so I said, well, luckily it's you two in the front of it to balance it all out, so it'd be all right. And so I called him at 2 o'clock on, I think it was a Wednesday afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and Thursday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, they pulled up in Girona with the
Flipping
diff.
heck.
Yeah, so yeah, they put a bit of a shift in, they got a move on in that old Insignia.
A very heavy insignia with very light steering, I would say.
Yeah, I think it was probably being pushed to limits it hadn't been tested at back when it was built about 20 years ago. So
I should say.
yeah, he's done that overnight. And yeah, like I said, like I thought that day started at 9,000 euros just for a diff, and it was a miracle I made it to Spain altogether anyway. And we know what France is like, is savage. If you get a breakdown there, that would have cost me probably 9,000 euros just to get off the motorway. So yeah, when he opened the casing up, I looked in the bottom and I thought it looked like there was pebbles there. It's the teeth. And he said, well, you're lucky you've not hit a bump, and it flew back up into the gears and completely like obliterated it. So
Very true.
I thought, as bad as it is, it could have been a lot worse. And I've had a few other breakdowns, and where they've happened, it could have happened in a worse place each time. So I've just thought, well, it's not great, but it could have been worse.
It could
And
have been worse, yeah.
I've had worse breakdowns in the past with other trucks. So yeah, I just think, well, you're quite out of pocket on the truck, but you could be a lot more out of pocket and probably hanging off of a balcony or something at the moment. So yeah, just try and see the silver linings, I suppose.
Well, that's it, yeah. So I mean, obviously you've still got the Volvo.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, I mean, I've got spending fatigue, but I have just had to just ignore what I'm spending on it now. Just thought you, because I painted it green as well, which that set me back quite a lot of money. It would have been, I'd have got rid of it by now otherwise. But I just thought, well, that green paint job is probably saved that Volvo's life, because I don't want anyone else running around in those colours either. So that's why I don't want to sell it. So I thought, you just got to keep the faith now. And you do see people selling these trucks with 1.5 million kilometres on them, so they can do it. It's just a case of, well, working your way through the issues. So there's only one I'm slightly concerned about at the moment. It's potentially doing the camshaft, which I think there's no signs that there's anything wrong with it, but I have heard people say they do go wrong. And I'm thinking what it would cost to preventatively do it now might be worth doing. It's not a bill I particularly want to pay right now, but I would really rather not pay £10,000 if it was to blow itself to bits on the motorway.
So it could be cheaper in the long run, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I could be saving myself 90%. So that's it. And that's in the best case scenario. Like we said, if it happens in France, it's game over then, isn't it? Might as well close the company down, because
Well, yeah.
you ain't gonna have a lot of money left in the account afterwards.
No, that's it. And we just explain to people who might not know. So in France, if you're on the motorway as such, auto, not auto route, is it?
The
But
payage.
the Péage motorway, if you have
Yeah.
any sort of problem, you can't just like for example, a puncture. If you have a blowout, you're not allowed to get out and change that wheel and tire yourself, are you?
No. Look, well,
Official.
legend has it. I might have done that in France, but
Officially,
yeah.
if you can do it without getting spotted, then you'll be all right. But
Yeah, because I think you're not even allowed to, even if you get it into the services, I think if you get caught doing it, they'll stop you and say, no, you need to get someone out to do this.
yes,
Even
yeah.
if you're not on the motorway. I don't know if that's true or not. I've been that's just what I've been told.
I have heard that as well. Perhaps someone out there will have actual first-hand experience,
Yeah.
and whether that's a driver myth or actually the case, because it would seem to be stand to reason, because the motorway serves the same as in the UK. You can't just access them from anywhere else other than the motorway. So they're part of like the Payage network, aren't
Yeah. So whoever's got the contract for that region just has
Yeah.
got a license to start printing money, haven't they? As soon as there's an issue, they see
That's
it
it.
and they can't wait for you to be at your lowest point so that they can come and make it a bit worse for you.
That's it. So essentially, like if you have a blowout or breakdown or whatever, you then have to get the relevant authorities involved, who will then get their contracted recovery company to come and collect you, drag you off to motorway services or wherever,
Yeah.
pay their hefty bill that they've chosen to charge you, before any work can be undertaken.
Yeah, and if it's a tire, they've only ever got Michelins. They've never got anything. The only one we've only got a Michelin left. That's the only one in stock,
Of
Nina.
course, yeah.
Every time I've seen it, yeah. And don't worry, it's only 1,500 euros.
Yeah.
It's it's
Bargain
quite a very sad day to
all
be
day
fair
long.
with you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had a breakdown about that would be about four, oh, Christ, that would be about 12, 13 years ago now. I was just coming up at our Bordeaux loading with wine.
Yeah.
And I'd only had the truck. We had the truck for 3 months, and it came with a 3 month warranty when we bought it. Another Stobart, Man TGA. And what was weird is I was coming up the hill thinking it's pulling quite well. This is I was overtaking a timber lorry,
Yeah.
and then I got to the. Well, it started to sound a little bit ropey once I pulled up to the toll booth, and then I basically noticed that I could smell a lot of oil, and it
Oh
was some
dear.
freshly laid tarmac. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what happened now, but there was oil everywhere, so I had to wait for. Well, they called out their recovery lorry, which a wrecker turned up and a
Yeah.
tractor unit. So you get so someone you got to pay someone to come and pull your trailer as well off the
Yeah.
motorway for you. So they took me 11 kilometers, and that was 1,800 euros. Then to get the unit from their yard to MAN, which was about another 15 kilometers, that was another 1,200 euros. And then they looked at it at MAN, and I was speaking to man in Avonmouth as well, and they said, don't let them do anything until you spoke to us,
Yeah.
because they had a horror story about someone paying 18 grand for, well, being getting an 18 grand invoice for a 7 grand lorry that broke down in France. So he just got his stuff out of the truck and left it there, never came back for it.
Right.
So I thought, well, once he spoke to them, he said, yeah, don't let them touch that lorry. You need to get that back to the UK.
Yeah.
So basically, the recovery company from the UK towed one of our other trucks down. I flew home. I double manned the recovery lorry down with the recovery driver, towing one of our other tractor units. He then took the broken down one back, and they done that for £1,800 from
Flipping
Bristol to
egg.
Bordeaux. Yeah. So yeah, we paid 3,000 euros just to do the best part of like 40 kilometers.
Yeah, they and your lot managed Bristol to Bordeaux for
Yeah.
half. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a long time. That was over 10 years ago. So that's what they were striping you up for back then. So God knows what they would do it down.
It just goes to show, if you're considering becoming an owner driver, especially doing European work, you've got to consider this
Yeah, do your research.
as a worst case scenario. This episode of Matt's Trucking Great Podcast is kindly sponsored by MA Ponsonby Limited. If you're requiring specialist haulage from the West Midlands area, give Mike a call. Thanks, Mike, for your support. Appreciate it. I'm pretty sure France is an exception as well. I can't think of anywhere else in Europe that has a system like that off the top of my head.
No, yeah. So you can obviously, yeah. I think France does tend to be the most expensive. I'd imagine Germany probably operates a similar sort of thing because the Germans do like to impose rules, don't they? So
Oh, they love a rule, yeah.
they're not going to have you sitting at the autobahn for too long at the side of the
No.
road. They'll send a wrecker out, and you'll be paying whatever
Yes.
the contracted company is. But
Yeah.
yeah,
But
so and that's the thing with all.
I was just going to say, having said that, I've heard stories about national highways being much the same with smart motorways and things like that.
Yeah,
So.
yeah, yeah. So we've created a problem, and now we're going to sell you a very expensive solution to it. So I've heard of people getting charged 7.5 grand to get an Artic off the motorway.
Yeah.
And you just think it's no need. Like we didn't need this. We didn't
Yeah.
need these smart motorways.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you feel. I'm sure you're truck drivers. You probably feel exactly how every other truck driver does about them. But
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm yet to find somebody who's a fan of a smart motorway. And
no.
I know my good friend Alex Broadley. We had a chat about when he had a blowout, and he just said it's one of the scariest things he's ever been
Yeah.
involved with, you know. So and he'll be coming on again with me soon, so we'll perhaps get him to regale that one. So but I mean, going back to the Volvo, it's clearly not put you off the brand though, has
No. Well,
it?
yeah, there's a lot of nostalgia involved, isn't there, with Volvos with me? So, yeah, so last year I bought a, I think just about end of, well, start of November, I bought a FL7.
Yeah.
So, my dad used to run FL10s back in the day. And like I said, those are the years I really remember going with dad all the time.
Yeah.
So I've always really wanted an FL. So I've been looking for a long time. I wanted an FL10 ideally, but I've spent so long looking for them. And everything I kept finding, it's been off the road for years. They want 5 or 6 grand for it. And I look at it and think, you could probably chuck 10 grand at this and still not have an MOT.
Yeah.
So the week I bought it, I was in Skelton Lake Services, and one had just went on Facebook, and I think there's some the it used to belong to a Crown Grand Joy somewhere, a blue one, and I know I have seen their truck still running. So, well, anyway, I went and looked at it again. I've been sat there for about 3 years. I'm looking, thinking, I don't really know what I'm looking at. I don't know how much this needs spending on it, it's just an MOT, and I had sort of agreed to buy it, and then another one came up in Western, and I'm based in Bristol, so I thought bloody has one on my doorstep, and it
Yeah.
had an MOT. So he wanted 7,000 for that. So I went down and looked at it. I took it out for a test drive. I thought, this is all just for show. You've sold the lorry, mate. Like,
Yeah.
just I'm just gonna go for a little drive just for the sake of it here. So yeah, bought that. I'd say it's well, MOTs are just the bare minimum, aren't they? You have to pass. So I'd say it was the bare minimum to get it through. So I've had to do a few bits to it
Yeah.
since I've had it. So it's had a full set of drive tires because the ones that were on it, the dot numbers showed that the tires are 20 years old, and they had a fair bit of tread on them.
Yeah.
Sidewalls looked a little bit worse for wear, but I thought, I got a load of budgets basically. I thought, for what I'm going to do with that lorry, I don't need Michelin or anything like that.
No.
So a full set of budgets to do.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
airbags were knackered.
Yeah.
So yeah, I well, you've seen my videos on TikTok as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Where I've been doing bits and pieces, working to it and filming my progress as I sort of, well, blagged my way through trying to restore a truck. So yeah, I had to put new airbags on, which turned into a big ordeal. Getting supplied the wrong airbags, taking them back, getting supplied the wrong airbags a second time round, then having to alter all of the plates on it. But I got there in the end. All of these jobs, when you think, and I've changed loads of airbags in the past, you think that's only looking at, I can do all of those in about an hour,
Yeah.
and you're 4 hours in thinking, I haven't even got one on yet. What is going on?
This is an old truck. It's not even a modern one with sensors left, right, and center and things like
I
that you've got
know.
to think about, you know?
I know. Yeah. So it's 35 years old now, that truck is. So,
Wow.
yeah. So I put new wings on the back of it. So I basically, there's a lot of people that when they buy these trucks to restore them, they just do it to take it to like 5 or 6 truck shows a year. It sits in the shed and that's all it does. And that's not what I'm doing it for.
Yeah.
I'm doing it because it's being out and it's driving it and working it where I can.
So
So
it's actually on the O license.
it's on the O license. So I'd sort of set myself the goal when I got it because it was MOT'd. I thought, I'll make sure that this is in a good enough condition that I'm confident to go out and do a bit of work in it. And I
Yeah.
wanted to do it before the end of 2025. So it was quite a mad push, and I was working long hours. I was my customer let me use his warehouse so I could work indoors on it.
Yeah.
I enlisted the help of John. I'd have to say he's almost like my recovery driver with what he'd done with that diff for me.
Your
So
insignia driving friend.
that's it, yeah, the response vehicle. So he came down and gave me a hand. And I didn't quite get it done because I had some work booked before, just before Christmas and between Christmas and New Year. I didn't quite get it done. I think it was the airbags was the issue, so I couldn't use it before Christmas. I jumped straight back on it Boxing Day, and yeah, I've just out and done 3 days' work for Amazon with it just before New Year.
I mean, to get going back to it on Boxing Day, that is dedication, isn't it? Without
I wanted to go down Christmas Day. I was
a
already Christmas Eve. Once I'd finished, I'd just done a night shift. I went and got all the top plates because I had to basically re-drill some holes in the top of them
Yeah.
for the air pipes to go in through. And because of the size of it, it was just it was really putting up a fight drilling this hole out to me, because I had to basically take it from like 30 mil to 54 mil, or
Bloody
I can't
egg.
remember the measurement.
Yeah.
So yeah, so Christmas Eve after a night shift, I was in the shed at Mar's house fighting with them still, but I got it done. And when I got them done, I thought, what, I've got to fit them on a lorry now. But the lorry was like 45 minutes away, and it's not a nice commute where I had it parked.
Yeah.
I thought, now you've got, like, it's Christmas Day tomorrow. You've got your
Have
daughter and everything. You need, like,
a day off.
exactly. Yeah. I
Yeah.
thought, you're sort of winning again now. So, yeah, once I got Christmas Day out of the way and my daughter dropped her off, then it was, right, there's only one place I'm going to be right now. That's back down that warehouse and getting these airbags on.
So when you went and looked at this truck and you very first took it out for a drive,
Yeah.
knowing that you were going to buy it, when you sat behind the wheel and selected that gear and set off with it, what did it feel like?
Well, so it's quite weird because like they say, never meet your heroes. So I
Yes.
thought this could be like that. So
Yeah.
obviously, Matt Campbell's got the Turbo Star, and I drove that about around his industrial estate when he first got that.
Yeah.
And I thought, bloody hell, this is a hard lorry to drive this. The gear, but I think probably the gearbox is a little bit stiff, but I thought you'd feel it after
Yeah.
doing a shift in this at the moment.
Yeah.
So I was worried it would be a bit like that, and it was just an absolute dream.
Yeah.
The gears are brilliant. I just thought, I drive about in it now, and I just think, obviously, I'm not running around at 40 ton with it, but when I'm driving it, I just think it's as easy to drive as any modern truck.
Yeah.
It's just they really knocked it out of the park when they made those trucks, Volvo.
Yeah.
So, and I can remember there's like a noise that you sort of like it make when you come off the brakes sometimes,
Yeah.
when you're like pulling up at junction. And I'd forgotten about it, and then
Yeah.
it made that sound, and I thought, God, bloody hell, like I went rushing back then to my childhood, being sat in the
Yeah.
lorry, and yeah, when I'm with dad and he'd hear that. So yeah, it was brilliant first driving it. And I'd never driven one, obviously, because I was that young at the time. I never had a chance to get behind the wheel of it
Yeah.
before he got rid of them. And I think by the time I first started actually was capable of moving a truck, he had a FH12 by that point.
Right, fair
So
enough.
yeah, driving it was literally the first time I'd ever driven one. So yeah, I do have to think to myself, I think, do you think it's so good to drive just because of what it means to you to have it? But John's been out for driving it and running around town in it, and he said the same. So I thought, well, it's been verified now. I've had a second opinion, and
Yeah.
even he thinks for a 35-year-old lorry, that's a really nice lorry to drive about in.
They do hold together well, don't they, Volvo? And it's
Yeah.
and they were a brilliant truck. The only sort of downside as such, I mean, going back to what we were talking about right at the start, like with regards to Fleet Motors, I mean,
Yeah.
they weren't designed for tramping, week in, week out, but at the time, that's just what people did because that's what people
Yeah.
were bought, and there wasn't so much sort of driver backlash. Oh, I'm not taking that up the road because you had an FL10 or a P-Cab Scania, ERF,
Yeah.
it's just all flat roofed everything. You saw
Yeah.
Globetrotters and stuff like that about, but they were unusual, weren't they?
Yeah, I think people were really like, if someone had that, it was an owner driver who's really going for it and doing well.
Yeah.
Like you said, there'd be people going down to the Middle East in a flat top F10 and stuff like that. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's weird. It's like we said, if you've not had it, so the technology for a lot of things like fridges and all that sort of stuff, you didn't have, it wasn't there anyway. So
Yeah.
you didn't know you were missing out on anything, really,
That's
did
it.
you?
No.
So yeah, so whereas these days everyone knows what they can and can't have, and yeah, you think if your mate's lorry's got one thing that yours hasn't, you think, oh, I must be like the mug then,
That's
like
it.
the boss don't like me. Yeah.
Yeah. So have you done a night out in it, or are you planning on doing
Yeah,
any? Yeah.
I've done. I think I've probably done about 6 nights out in it so far.
Flipping
So,
heck. Fair play to you.
yeah, and I mean, I'm 38, and I'm not like unfit, not as fit as I was when I was in my 20s. But even moving around the cab now, and I think if you were like a 22 stone bloater, like there's quite a few of those in this industry now.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable, a truck like this, and I don't know if back in the days drivers were just generally slimmer. I suppose when you're stripping tilts and flatbeds and stuff out all the time, the job probably did keep you a lot more active. And
I do generally think that back sort of 20, 30, 40 years ago, although there's always the exception to the rule, I think drivers were generally healthier again because also even just simple things like changing gear, it's still movement, and you'd end up
yeah.
doing an awful lot of gear changes in a day. So you were constantly active. Like power steering wasn't as good, so you'd have to put a little bit more effort into steering it again,
Yeah.
stripping a tilt, roping and sheeting, all that kind of stuff. It was more physical. Whereas like compared with today, again chatting to my friend recently, essentially if you put a truck on a hard shoulder motorway, you could realistically put a child in it and they could point it down the road and drive it, couldn't they? Because all they got to do realistically is put it in a drive
Yeah.
and just drive forwards,
Exactly. Well, like Mercs now, I think you can wedge a bottle or something in the steering wheel somewhere. And like I've seen a video, someone puts like a weight or something out on the driver's seat, and then it's just driving down this road on its own. So, yeah, like you said, you could put a child in it, and yeah,
And
probably not have a crash.
yeah, that's it. And whereas, 30 years ago, that FL10, and again, like if you're running at full weight in that, you would be going up and down that box an awful lot, wouldn't you? So you
Well,
would.
especially with my FL7, because
Oh, yeah, seven,
that's only
sorry,
got, yeah, well, mine's a 260 horsepower. So,
yeah.
Bob Beach, he's on my Facebook, so I obviously I use it. He's the Oracle, so
Oh, yes.
I go to him when I got questions. He said that the new FH16 780s,
Yeah.
they've got more torque in the start motor than my engine's got.
Brilliant.
I can believe him as well, because not long after getting the truck, I was doing John a favour, because he's got plenty of credit in the bank with me after
Yes.
him helping me out. So his trailer needed to go for its MOT, his
Yeah.
flatbed. So he said, could you load it up with concrete blocks for a brake test?
Yeah.
So I went and loaded 16 ton of concrete blocks on it,
Yeah.
and I had to take it from Avonmouth to Yate.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well you know the area, but if you go up to the M48 where Sevenview Service is and the old bridge, and
Yeah.
then up the motorway that way, it's quite a steep hill that. And I'd
Yes.
had the truck about 3 days, and I didn't know if it could even make it up that hill. So I took the alternative route, but that hill is still there. No matter what way you go, you're gonna at some point have to get up a hill.
Yes.
It was raining, and I was coming up a hill that was very steep, and I started running out of gears, and
Oh
I
dear.
thought, yeah, and I hadn't even tipped. It wasn't even a tip of the iceberg where I was on the hill. And these trucks, and I think a lot of old manuals back in the day would have had a crawler gear, which is what this has got in it.
Yeah.
And I did think, well, it's shit or bust time now, basically. If this crawler gear don't get it up, I don't know what the next option is. And this is a little V road on the back street, so I've got traffic piling up behind me. It's not like I can just quickly reverse back down and come up with plan B.
Yeah.
Put it into crawler gear, and it crawled off up that hill. And when
Yeah.
I say crawl, it is a crawl. I
Oh,
think
yes.
you, yeah, you, if you, yeah, if you'd had a skinful and crawled home on your hands and knees from the pub, you would get there before that lorry got up that hill. But it did it, and I thought, what are you doing? I thought, how long have you wanted one of these lorries, and you've just done that to it? You don't know anything about this truck. It could have all ended right there and then, basically.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, because it did make it, I've grown in confidence with the truck and thought, yeah. So
Yeah.
anytime, like I said, I keep getting bills for my other trucks, and you're like, oh, again, oh, another. A bill comes up for that FL. It's like, yeah, I said it's like one of your kids. If it needs shoes, you're just paid it. You're like, I don't seem to have any issue parting with putting my pin code in when it comes to that FL. But what's helped is because it's got an MOT and I'm getting some use out of it. It doesn't feel like it's completely like draining me. Whereas if I bought one that and needed a lot of work, I could be tens of thousands of pounds into it and still not have even been behind the wheel out on the road with it. So I think just being able to get a bit of use out of it helps you sort of keep the motivation.
Yeah, definitely. And it's it's paying its way, isn't it? It's more than just a hobby machine.
Well, when I pulled the handbrake on, knowing full well that that truck had just put about £700 profit in the bank, I thought, yeah, best investment of the year. I called it my. The thing is, when I'm driving it, and my missus, I was on the phone to her, and she said, "I can hear the smile on your face." I said, "Yeah." I said, "This is my therapy, Laurie." And at the time, I was driving. You'll never believe this. My FH was off the road with a issue, and the mechanic phoned me, and he said it could be the retarder seals. So we got the price from Volvo. That was £800 plus whatever the fitting's going to be. But I got that news whilst I was driving the FL, so I was still smiling. I thought, if I'd have been in my van or if I'd have been in my other truck,
You'd be crying.
I would have definitely ruined my day. That would have. But yeah, I was happy as Larry on my way over to Newport to pick a new container up for my yard. So yeah, I thought nothing can touch me when I'm in this lorry. I am literally bulletproof.
That is quite literally your happy space.
It is, yeah. And I said, so I seen another driver coming the opposite way that I know, and he's on the lights and horn, seen me, and he's like grinning when he's past me. I said, the thing is, this lorry doesn't just make me happy. It's the people that get to see it. It makes
Oh,
them
yeah,
happy as well.
absolutely.
Yeah. So it was without a doubt that it was the right investment for my mental health. And yeah, just
Fantastic.
it's been good fun. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So let's bring it right up to date then. So where are you sat right now?
Well,
Let's just ruin my day if no one else's.
Well, yeah, for the listeners, because I've already spoiled you with the view. But yeah, I'm sitting in Benidorm right now. I've
At
got
work,
myself.
we hasten to add.
Yeah, I know. Look how dirty this white shirt is. I am working on it, you know. Yeah, so I'm doing a job with Matt Campbell and Mason. He's on his way down here as well now to meet up with us, which we've unloaded at Barcelona at the racetrack, got to sit for 5 days before we reload and take the stuff to be air freighted. So, in the meantime, I do work for Amazon, so I looked up what loads traction only stuff they had coming out of Barcelona, and there was a load going down to Murcia. Oh, perfect, that'd do. The money was right as well. So, and bearing in mind we're obviously being paid to just sit, so you only got to cover your fuel money really. But it was a decent enough rate that you'd think, yeah, I'd do that. Obviously, it's only a one way though, so doing it as a round trip would eat into it. But anyway, yeah. So I dropped the trailer off yesterday in Murcia, and then bobtailed up to Benidorm. So yeah, 2 nights here. But you've probably seen it on my Facebook post that I finally got a bit of use out of my ECMT permit as well because of doing the extra movements in Europe. So I thought that's handy that I've got that because I couldn't have done it otherwise. Because we're going to Milan next, that's our one internal movement. And then I still got to get back from Milan, so I'd want to load an import back to the UK. I wouldn't have been able to do this run down to Mercia legally, because you can only do your one internal or cross-border movement once you've got into the EU. So yeah, it's turned into a nice jolly this job. So I've had 4 months of doing nights for Amazon building up to Christmas. So and given that I think it's rained every day in the UK since the start of the year, hasn't it? I
Pretty
needed.
much, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I needed this. I even thought when I got here yesterday and parked up, I thought even without doing that internal load, I'd have just driven down here in the truck anyway. It was definitely the right thing to do, was just get down here and just have a bit of R&R, really.
Yeah, a bit of winter sunshine. It's amazing what a nice bit of sunshine does to you. It really is.
Yeah, someone said this about I can't remember, there was a meme about it, like a Facebook reel, and it said it's not your not necessarily depression, it's your location. And I thought, yeah, when you've got a bit of sun, the world does seem a different place.
Oh, it does. Yeah, it really does. So
Yeah.
if you were able to, would you have taken the FL on that trip? I think I know
Yeah,
the answer. I was going to say, I think I know the
100%. So
answer.
last week I actually came down, ran down solo to pick up a trailer for The Infamous John again.
Yeah.
It's getting a lot of airtime, isn't he, on this podcast?
It
Yeah, The Negotiator is what he's affectionately known as. So
is.
he was doing a job for Red Bull, which he brought a trailer down before Christmas, and it was left here while they done whatever, and it was ready for collection. And that was when I was getting the bad news about the potential retirer on the FH. So I thought, what am I going to do? I thought, well, I'm going to have to put Mike, my driver, in the Merc.
Yeah.
So I thought, I can't say, oh yeah, take the FL out for a week tramping. I mean, I can say that, but I thought, well, it's only his second week back working for me. So I thought, yeah,
He
let's
might
done.
not appreciate that. Not everyone will.
No, he's a very good lad, actually. He probably would enjoy it, if I'm honest. But I think if anyone's got to drive the FL, it's got to be me, really, just
I
because
think
I
so.
want to. So there was the very real possibility. I thought, I'm going to have to take the FL down because I know the load was only 8 ton. So I thought, all right, it's not the most powerful lorry I've got, but it can pull 8 ton. It just might take me a little bit longer to get up some of the hills. But I've got a rattling noise coming from it, which it's done it since I bought it, and we're pretty certain it's compressor because once the air is built up, the rattling goes away. But I have been told it could also be the timing gear. So cheapest way to work your way through it, do the compressor first. So because of that, I thought, bearing in mind like we spoke about with France, I thought I can't run the gamble. I don't mind taking a little bit of a gamble in the UK when I feel like I can find a way of getting this lorry home without it
Much
bankrupting
easier,
me.
and cheaper, definitely.
Yeah, but you have an issue and you're at the toll booth on a péage or whatever, it's game over. So if I could, and if the boat schedule would have worked to ship straight into Spain, then I'd have just shipped straight to Spain and straight back from Spain. But the stars didn't align on that. So
No, never
luckily
mind.
enough, anyway, we fixed the FH and it wasn't needed. But I couldn't get the boat to and from Spain, which would mitigate a lot of the risk of driving down here. So luckily got the FH repaired in time, and yeah, I came down with the Merc. But when it was, I thought, oh, that was it. I had to I smart taco. So I had to book in for a smart taco. But because well, my local dealer Volvo, they're useless. Well, they're not that well. There's a few of them are actually. One of the part guys is really good. So I paid for the parts. They just didn't bother checking with accounts. So my mechanic went to go and pick the parts up. Said they're not well. It's not been paid for, so couldn't take the parts. So he went off and done another job, which then meant I went down to Avonmouth with the intention of doing the tachograph in the FL, so that I've got my plan B. Then found out about these parts, so I thought, oh, really, I need to dig into the FH. I need to get that prioritize that. So I thought, essentially, it is just going to be a jolly if you're taking the FL down there.
There's always another
Yeah.
time, isn't there?
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, me and Matt have been talking about April to come out with the Turbo Star in the FL, but
Would that be a thing?
he's dragging his heels a little bit. So hopefully, by putting him on blast on a podcast, might get his ass into gear a little bit and get him to get
Well,
on with it.
I think what we should do, because obviously you're going to be meeting up with Matt and Mason,
Yeah.
if it will work, I think we should have a three stroke four way podcast chat and just
Yeah.
discuss the a bit more with the pros and cons of being like owner driver stroke small
Yeah.
operator as the three of you are. But I think that'd be quite
That'd
good, wouldn't
be yeah, there'll be a lot there'll be a lot of people competing for the microphone now, wouldn't there? It'd be like a
That's
kitchen session, I think.
I think so,
Everyone waiting for their turn to tell a story.
I think we should try and get that arranged if you're up for it.
I did float the idea with Matt the other day, but obviously he's chose to stay out of Fuller while I'm down here on my holidays. So the three of us should all be parked up. I think the plan is Tortona this weekend. So yeah, we're gonna have a bit of time to kill. So we'll see if we can get something lined up for that.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I think I've taken up enough of your time on your holiday as it is now, Luke. So I'll let you go and get a nice cold cerveza in the sun.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I've had to hold back all day waiting for you.
Oh,
So, well, I'm used to you doing half days, aren't I? So,
and the one day I've got a full day. You're
yeah.
on
I mean,
holiday.
I thought I'd be going down by the pool by 11:30.
Yes, so did I. But there we go. Brilliant. All right, Luke. Well, it's great to catch up with you once again.
Yeah, and you, mate.
And yeah, we'll discuss offline and see if we can get another one organised with the four of us.
Yeah, happy days.
Brilliant.
Look
Take
forward
it
to that.
easy. Take it easy, mate, and drive safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, cheers, Matt.
Lovely.
Have a
Cheers,
good evening.
mate. And you. Tell
Bye.
mate. Bye.